Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and we're on episode 203 of the Slow Living Podcast. This is session 4 with Kelsey. So we are at the 2/3 mark of our time together. And today in this episode, I want to apologize upfront at about the 5-minute or so mark of us working together for this session. My computer crashed, and then I had to log into Zoom on a different computer with a different headset. And so my sound is a little different that you'll notice. And so I apologize for that. It's a little tinier. If you haven't listened to the past episodes with Kelsey, they start at episode 197. She's been listening along. I've been getting some great feedback. I love that you're out there. Shoot us a message. Let us know what your thoughts are. But for right now, here's Kelsey. Okie dokie. Kelsey, how are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah? I've got your homework and your call notes. What stood out the most to you this past week?
I guess listening to my episode. I can't believe I did it.
Okay, so how did that decision to I'm gonna do this, was it, did you just see it and you're like, nope, I'm doing it, or did you have to talk yourself into it? What was that process?
It was a whole day process.
Oh, so, for real? Okay, yeah. So what happened?
So, pardon me. In the morning, I listened to the very first part and I heard you and you were saying such kind things. And then I heard my voice and I turned it off and I'm like, I can't anymore. And then I was going throughout the day and my mom and I have discussed all of this a lot. And she goes, I can tell you I'm not going to listen to it, but I'm going to listen to it. And I said, okay, let's listen at the same time. So I turned it on when she did. And then, we talked a bit after and I was like, I can't believe. And I think the main thing I got out of it was like, I've thought these things for so long. I've felt these things. I've said these things, but hearing them in my own voice, oh my goodness. I finally heard myself. I have so much compassion for her, and it's me. And I can't believe like how well spoken I am. I'm really proud of that.
I told you that I was given comments about how well spoken you are and asked like, are you reading from a script? I'm like, no.
What a sad script. The first episode anyway. It gets better, guys.
Okay. So your mom's listening. How does that feel?
We've done a lot of growth over the years. Like we've really reconnected and we are so open and honest about our feelings now. And part of me thought like, you know, it's going to be like the old days and she's going to take everything I said real personal. But she called me and she goes, I'm so proud of you. I can't believe that you're opening up and you're taking these steps. And she was just, she's coming down today because she's just so excited about all this and she wants to hug me so bad. She's driving 3.5 hours to come and be with me today.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really interesting and that's lovely. It's lovely because it also just sort of shows that it doesn't matter how old you are. A piece of you is still that tiny little girl who wants your mom's approval and love.
Yeah. And there was a few years that we were really separated, like when I lived in Nova Scotia and we almost like disconnected for so long. And now to be able to call her every day and talk about this stuff all the time, it's pretty special.
Okay. So is there anything you're hiding? Like she knows about the cannabis use. She knows all of this kind of stuff.
No, we're open and honest about everything.
Okay. So there's nothing that you feel shameful about when it comes to sharing this journey with your mom.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Yeah.
So, Kelsey, that's remarkable.
Ah! Maybe I'm getting that unconditional love from her too.
No, but I mean that's amazing. I mean, most of the people that I talk to, and I talk to lots and lots of people, don't have that unconditional love from a parental figure. They still have shadows and things that they're hiding.
Yeah. We've come a long way. We after I went to therapy and I figured everything out with my sister and I like it was kind of weird for a little bit because that's hard on your mom, right? When your daughters aren't getting along, that's really hard. But she handled it with such grace and she's been so kind to me. And there's been moments that we both like, ugh, because you know, I don't want to talk to my sister. And she's like, oh, maybe you'll come around. And I was like, Mom, I'm just not gonna. Like it's maybe in years and years and years, but right now that's not it. And that's the only thing
Yeah.
that we've ever been like weird about, but we've completely moved past it and we show up for each other and we're just completely open and honest now.
Okay. So let's talk a bit about your sister. You had put in the session worksheet that there is a family event coming up in the next few weeks. I know we touched upon it in previous discussions. Do you have a game plan? What would you what would
Oh,
be the
you froze.
ideal? Okay. We had a weird Zoom thing, so thank you, Taylor, for fixing that. So I'm on a different computer with this with a different microphone, and we'll see how we do. And I'm moving my notes background and my tea. Okay, we were talking about your sister, and we were talking about in your worksheet, and we've recapped this quite a bit that you're worried about these upcoming events.
Right. I do have the event that I specifically talked about in the session four pre-call worksheet is for
Yeah.
Ryan's family. That's on Sunday.
Okay, so your sister will not be there.
No, thank goodness.
Okay, all right. So then how come being with Ryan's family makes you feel anxious?
Honestly, I'm not really sure. I've always kind of just shut down and I'm just like an anxious mess. I just like really turn into myself and I get really nervous at these family events.
Okay, all family events, so on both sides of the family.
I'm more comfortable in my side of the family if my sister isn't present. And then Ryan's side of the family, it usually, yes. Like it's if it's the immediate family, no, like just his parents. But as soon as it's extended into like his parent or his dad's side of the family, I get a little like, ah.
Okay, so you're worried on some level that they're judging you.
Yeah.
Okay. Has something happened? And it's, or are you just perceiving it in this way?
It's probably a lot of like overthinking and perception, but one time I like all like so there's a lot of wives that have married in. We all married into this craziness and I try and bond with them and one time I walked up behind them and they're looking through a photo album and they're like, "Oh, I would never have a destination wedding. That's so selfish for your family." And I'm like, "Oh, I had a destination wedding. Like that's awkward." So I think that's kind of where it all stemmed and I was like, "Ah," and they're just all really, really loud. And like they're just boisterous and I'm quite reserved. Most like I'm generally excitable, but I really reserve it there and everyone's talking and it's hard to get a second in and it's just like, I'm just gonna stay quiet back here.
Okay. And this is like with the group of wives. So there's not anyone that you click with in that group.
I click with Ryan's like blood cousin. Her name's Arlene. She's great. She doesn't give a crap about what anybody thinks. So I gravitate towards her.
Okay. Does she feel the same way
I
about the
think to
rest of
a
them?
certain extent, it seems like there's different levels of the family and like some of them are quite wealthy, and I think that that has part to do why I feel like a little disconnected.
Yeah. Okay. So you feel less than around them. You don't feel confident
Yeah.
Okay. Are there other situations where you feel less than or have felt less than in the past and you've come out of it?
Yeah, I like when I finally came around to Arlene and like her parents, and I got more comfortable with them when we went to the cottage one weekend together, and I finally came out of it and they saw my true self.
Okay, so if you were to complete this sentence, I feel less than when.
When I don't have a lot to say, or when I don't offer a lot to the situation.
Okay. And is it always with this particular group of people? Like, do you feel like you want, like, would it be a good idea to front load conversation starters or skim? I mean, do
Maybe.
they talk about news? Do they talk about politics? What makes you feel like you can't contribute to the conversation?
Well, a lot of them are business owners and they're successful and they're talking about, where they're vacationing and, where they're gonna take their children and they're doing all of these things and I feel like such a homebody and I'm just being at home making my own meals and being frugal. We're just so different.
Okay. In your mind, do they seem show-offy to you?
A few of them, yes.
Okay. What if you reframed it that in order for them to kind of feel good about themselves, they need to show off?
Yeah.
Is it a possibility that everyone feels a little awkward and uncomfortable in these get-togethers?
Maybe the other wives that have married into it, like a few of them, but don't know, that they're family, right? Like it's
Yeah,
they've all
but
been
if you
together.
just sort of said out loud, "Oh, I always feel so awkward at these get-togethers. I never know what to say."
I don't know. That
So,
would
but
be. I'd like.
it would be the truth.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I get my biggest uncomfortableness out of the way and then be like, oh, okay. And then I think when I start to feel like that and I get reserved, then they're thinking, oh, what's going on with her? Like, why doesn't she want to talk to us? And I never want to come off as rude. That's one thing that I really struggle with is I really don't want to come off as like rude or standoffish. I'm just like terrified inside.
Yeah. So getting in front of it and saying, I don't know, like if you're on the side or waiting for food or in the buffet line or something, you're like, "Oh, I'm so happy to see you. I am so always worried when these events come up because I'm socially awkward and such a homebody." And then just pause and then wait to see what happens.
Okay, I've never tried the pause there. I usually keep rambling. So that would be an interesting change. Yeah, I think that some of them would probably relate, right? Like, and then they would know that I'm not talking to them because I don't want to speak to them. It's just because I'm like, God, this is a lot.
Yeah, when I'm going to say you, but I mean people in general, feel anxious and nervous, the typical response is to keep filling the air, to keep talking, to keep rambling. And if that's your tendency and you know it hasn't worked for you in the past,
Right.
trying something new and using those kind of power of the pause might be helpful.
Yeah, I'm willing to try.
Okay, as far as not traveling and not spending money lavishly and that kind of stuff, when you're on your own and it's just you and Ryan and your family, and we talked about how great your mom is and everything, are you proud of your choices?
Yeah, I like living like this. I think that this is a pretty great life to live like this. I don't think that they can relate as much. I don't, maybe they can. We've never really gotten into it too deeply, right? They're all Dutch, so I'm sure they love to save and stuff. So maybe, I don't, maybe they'd love to talk about it.
Yeah. If you're proud, you're proud. Complete stop.
Yeah.
Is there a piece of you that still feels if you had more money, you would be making different choices? And you're this way because you have to, versus you're this way because you've chosen it.
Ryan and I had a conversation like that the other day. I like living below our means. I think that that's something that I'm going to do for the rest of my life because then you can live contently and I don't ever want to worry about big debt or anything like that. That's a stressor that I don't need. But I don't, like, besides travel, I don't think I'd change a thing if we had more money.
Is it a possibility because you don't know anyone's like actual life circumstances? Is it possible that maybe some of their coping mechanisms is overspending? I mean, you have no idea really what it's like in their own finances and in their own life. You only know what they're choosing to show and tell you.
That could very well be the truth, yeah.
What are you choosing and to show and tell?
It's funny because I really love to talk about this when people ask, but then I like take a step back and I'm like, oh God, they're gonna know all my deepest, darkest secrets if I get too deep into it. So I'm like a little reserved with that, but I like to talk about this in the way that I'm living now. So I would love to open up and talk about that.
Talk about what? Just the changes you're making yourself
Yeah,
this summer?
slow living and being thankful for what I have and, you know, actually exercising and
Yeah. Okay. So let's just for instancing, if someone is just making small talk, it's like, hey, Kelsey, how you doing? What are you up to this summer?
I'm so anxious at these events. I'm so happy to talk to you. I'm working on myself this summer. I've really turned inward and trying to cook healthy. I can always talk about cooking. That's a great idea. I can always talk about food. I've been cooking healthy meals. I've been getting produce from a local farm. I could talk about that. What else have we been doing? See, I get gummed
Okay,
up so quick.
so is it true that you are enjoying spending time with your boys this summer and getting to know who they are as people, and you're very aware that you only have them for a short amount of time, and you're so lucky because you can soak up every bitty bit of them?
Yeah, and they all have kids too, so that's a wonderful thing to talk about. Everybody loves talking about their kids, right? And our bucket list. We're having a blast with our bucket list.
And you went and you went on a flashlight walk and you caught fireflies, and that kind of stuff is pretty amazing and magical, and you're making fantastic memories even if you're not hopping on a plane and traveling.
True. Yeah, that is true.
I think deciding that you're proud of your choices instead of somehow feeling that the choices you've decided on purpose to make are less than is what will help you. And somehow, in some way, you still feel that they are less than.
Yeah, I guess deep down, I really do. I gotta work on that.
Yeah. So you're not on social media.
No, none.
Okay. So the comparisonitis, just by someone walking in the room, or the way sometimes some people carry themselves, do you feel less than just instantly?
I don't think so. Not like instantly. It's usually like when conversation starts, and maybe I feel less than because I don't have as much confidence as some of the other wives. Like they come in and they're just like, "Hey, what's up? Let's talk." Blah blah blah, and I'm like, what are we gonna talk about? I don't know. Like, what do I have to offer in conversation?
When do you feel the most confident?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm feeling pretty confident when I'm running in the mornings. That's starting to really, yeah. I adjusted the couch to 5K. I emailed you about you're supposed to run for 1 minute and then walk for 3 minutes and then run for 1 minute. I couldn't do the running twice in a row, and you're supposed to do it 8 times, so I cut it down to 4 times, and I'm speed
Okay.
walking the other time. So I'm starting to get a lot of confidence in being able to do that, and I successfully did that this morning, fully with the running and the speed walking. So
Yeah.
definitely getting more confidence.
Okay. So that's a fantastic conversation starter. Hey, Kelsey, what have you been up to this summer? I'm working towards a 5K.
Yeah, I guess so. I am. I really am. I feel like it's like I haven't really said that out loud, or like, and it takes as long as it takes, which I tell myself 17,000 times a day.
Yeah, but also then that's pretty amazing, and not everyone can do that and just has decided to do that. I mean you can geek out on researching running stuff and running shoes, and if you want, you can start looking for local 5K races, and like it could turn into a thing if you want it to.
I used to love it so much in my 20s. In my early 20s, I loved it. I'd run to my husband's house when I had an apartment. Like, I loved it, and it made me feel so good. And I got like a little bit of that runner's high the other day, and I was like, "Oh, I'm doing it again."
Yeah. How, if you were to like role play and you were to step into a confident person. So I know in the daily journaling worksheet, sometimes some people, the first question is, how do you want to feel today? If the answer was confident, and if you were going to walk into this party, what would you do?
I think that there'd have to be some prep. I'd want to make sure that I was wearing something I felt really comfortable in, and like set myself up for success in that, and like make sure that I'm feeling confident in the way that I look. And then I like making sure I'm having good posture and having a little bit in my pocket to things I could talk about, which I'm already starting to make a little list of things that you were talking about, which I can't believe I didn't notice some of those things. And yeah, looking people in the face instead of constantly like, I look away a lot. I get uncomfortable and I break eye contact. And I think if I stepped into a confidence, like looking at one of the other wives specifically, she's always very confident and she walks tall and she's open to, she looks right at you. So I think that that would make the difference.
Have you ever told her?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, being vulnerable is scary, but also, I mean, you belong there. This is your family. You're going to be around these people forever, hopefully. And like maybe decide on purpose to sit next to her, and for also, I don't want to dismiss your ideas that you just had. You had really great ideas, and I absolutely agree with picking out an outfit that you feel confident in. Practice wearing it, practice posture, practice posing for family photos. I'm like, decide, oh, I'm always going to be this way, and I'm going to put my chin this way. So then you're not taken off guard, and it sounds really phony and fake, but that's how confidence kind of like you build up that layer. And you will. And even the most successful person and someone who feels really great about themselves still has vulnerabilities and still isn't always confident, and they're putting on a show. in some way. I don't like that phrase, fake it till you make it, because your brain and your body aren't aligned, but you also can step into a role and play still you, but the more confident version of you. As far as talking to this particular woman that you feel seems confident, sometimes just breaking the ice, like, oh, I've been meaning to tell you, every time we're in these get-togethers, I'm just kind of blown away at how you carry yourself. You're always so confident. Do you have any pointers for me? And then again, bubble in your mouth, quiet. Because that will catch someone way off guard because it's not something that they were preparing for in any way. And then they have the opportunity to share their vulnerabilities with you and that kind of stuff. Another great tip is if someone's going on and on about their travel and you don't know anything about it, just ask questions like, oh, okay, wow, all right. That's not, no, I've never been to Portugal. Okay. All right. Well, what kind of walking shoes did you end up wearing when you were there? Just keep the conversation going, because it's better than just sitting there feeling like, oh, I haven't talked for 10 minutes. Oh, now I haven't talked for 12 minutes. Oh, people are noticing that I'm not talking. That's not a fun thing to go on and on in your head.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening in my head too.
Complimenting other people on their outfits and asking where they got them, that kind of like little small talk things. But you do belong. You belong in that room.
Well, that backyard this time.
Okay, but you belong. So it's that idea, for some reason you're feeling like you don't belong and you're not good enough. Do you believe me?
I do. Like I don't know why I think I don't belong there. I don't know. Like I'm just as much there's a lot like with Ryan's side of the family, and like his dad's the only one that moved away, and then they all stayed here and had a family business or married into family businesses and stuff. And sometimes just that, I feel like a bit of an outsider because the rest of them have had this like cottage for years, and now we're coming into it. And like Ryan's dad says a lot of really uncomfortable things sometimes, and like even his mom. And it's just like I feel like that's kind of awkward and uncomfortable as well. So that's been an ongoing thing, and like figuring out like they're, I don't know how, like that it's their family, so they have to deal, but I wish I didn't wear that on me as much. Those are their words and what they're saying, and I just feel like as a whole little nuclear family, we're a little bit on the outside anyway.
Okay. And by ultra comfortable things, it's like racist, sexist, like political stuff.
Homophobic.
Homo. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Not
So
usually racist. Hope like that's the nice part, at least, but definitely homophobic, which is unfortunate.
yeah. Are the boys old enough that when you're driving home from that kind of stuff, you can have kind of a frank conversation about like so and so says things that Daddy and I do not agree with and we're not okay with. And is
I've
that
definitely
something that,
said it to Finnegan. Theo's off in his own world. He probably wasn't listening anyway. He's off doing his own thing. But Finnegan, I've for sure had to say things like, we've had this issue. Gosh, it's been through soccer. It's been through hockey. It's been like, and like, stop talking about other people's kids. Like, it doesn't matter that kid's overweight. Please shut up. Like,
okay.
go.
Okay, so
So
it's kind
that's
of this
been.
old school, older, like boomer mentality, even if they aren't boomers. I know what you mean.
I think they're older than boomers, technically. Ryan was like they had Ryan later in life, so
Got it.
they're in their 70s now, so.
Okay. Sometimes what's helpful is to just frame it that they're a little special needs in that way, or they've got dementia in that way. And even if they don't, but just deciding it's, you're not going to change them, you're not going to fix anything.
You can't. I like we've talked to them about it a lot and nothing's ever changed. Like part of me, and I can't believe I'm saying this, part of me feels that's why Finn didn't make the rep team for hockey this year, is because we didn't talk to a lot of the other parents for hoping that we could protect them from the comments that Ryan's parents were saying. Ryan, like one of the other dads turned around and was like, "Can you shut the up about my kid?" to Ryan's dad. And Ryan's like, and Ryan's dad just pretends like he didn't hear it. We went to the science center and a lady told Debbie or Ryan's mom to shut up. And she's just like, "What?" And John pretends he doesn't hear it. And I'm like in the middle of all of this. And I think things like that also make me uncomfortable when we go to those family events because I'm like, God, are they going to say something? But that's their family, man. That's not on me. That's more on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that instancing with Ryan's dad talking about other children while they were playing hockey loud enough for those parents to hear. I mean, that's not okay.
Oh, it is so deeply uncomfortable. Like, and we sit away from everyone now. And I think the reason is because we distanced ourselves from so much. They're like, oh, well, Finn's not even a part of the community. He won't make the team this year because he tries really hard and he was pretty upset that he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ryan, in your mind, it doesn't seem like he's putting his dad in his place or keeping his dad from attending.
Well, he definitely talked to his dad about it after. He addressed it right away, and John's like, "Oh, I didn't hear." And he's like, "You've got to stop. Like, you're causing issues." But it's almost like he forgets. We went through this whole friggin' rabbit hole of figuring out that this has been happening for years and years, and this is why we're at a distance from Ryan's mom's side of the family. Like his aunt called and he's like, "How's everything going?" Because Debbie went through her depression. And I'm like, "I'd love to come see you guys. Like, let's get together." And she's like, "Oh, well, John and Deb aren't allowed in my house." And I'm like, "What?" She's like, "I don't like the comments they make when they come to my home. You're not like they're not allowed to
Yeah.
come here."
So how does that feel?
It feels horrible. I
Well,
feel.
aren't you proud of them for sticking up to their boundaries?
Yeah, but I want to go see them. And like I want to have that family involvement with like the little bit that's left of Deb's side of the family. Like Ryan wants to go, like I feel comfortable with that side of the family. I like that side of the family. We get along, we're more understanding, and we're open and honest about our feelings like that. But like
And
Ryan's
can they
not.
just come to you without the parents?
Well, I've had them come to our house when right after Nana passed, I invited absolutely everyone for Thanksgiving dinner, and they all showed up. And like whenever there's hockey events, we'll see them and stuff like that, and I'm trying to pull them in more, and I feel like I wish I could have the confidence I have with that side with the other side. I wonder like what the difference is there, but I'm trying to reach out to them. I'm even pushing Ryan to because I feel like he's lonely without his family, and we don't see
Yeah.
them a lot. We're not invited to a lot of stuff.
I think in your own home, specifically having those boundaries, you're not able to speak that way in our home.
Yeah. Well, and then, but
Makes sense.
it's tricky because I feel like I'm biting the hand that feeds me. They take care of the children one day a week. They take the children to all sorts of things. And if I make Ryan's dad angry, he's someone that just like, okay, whoop, we're done. Like, I'm walking away now. So I don't know how that would work out. And Ryan's brother moved away a long time ago. He moved down to the States to get married and he never came back since. And that
Okay.
sucks.
Okay. You're relying on them for childcare.
Yeah.
Okay, that we're gonna stop episode 203 right now, and then we'll move into episode 204 next week. But I wanted to really point out how vulnerable yet again Kelsey was, and she's talking about insecurity going into social situations and also even social situations surrounding family and in-laws. And family and in-laws can be so tricky, and there's so many different levels of things. And so one of the homework assignments that I wanted her to do was to come up with of how to feel confident around certain people. So in the homework, I wanted her to list out different family members, and then ask and journal out, why am I not so confident around so and so? And then how can I be more confident around so and so? So think about this for yourself and in your own life and with your own family and with own peripheral members of family or work or coworkers, different people. Some people somehow in some way trigger you and you feel less than around them. And if that's true, that's something to explore because you deserve to be center stage in your own life at all times. And you can decide preemptively how you want to be and how you want to react around people and then sort of protect yourself, step into that invisible force field. Okay, pretty people, as always, I think you're amazing and lovely and kind and wonderful. I'm so happy for being here. I'll be with you again next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.